First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you found us, and of course...
Twitch.tv/UpNextPodcast. Hello, Twitch Room. How are you doing?
Yes, hello, Twitch Room. It's Tuesday night. The boys are back. The BDE are here.
Yeah.
And we're here to talk about some NXT, because... who else would be your NXT friends?
Friends! Yes, we are your NXT friends. And, hey, Braden.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Why?
It's been Tony D'Angelo. No, Santos, wasn't it?
Oh.
Hey, Braden.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that was a segment on the show tonight.
Yeah, can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, but actually, we're just not going to talk about NXT, and we're just going to talk about how... the Leafs won.
They won.
Yeah. Welcome to our Leafs post show.
Yeah.
Here on...
we did not watch the game because we were watching 2.0, but...
we watched the first 5 minutes of the game.
The first 5 minutes, which wasn't great.
Which was Tampa scoring twice in five minutes. And then we decided to put NXT on. I don't know what was worse at the time, but then we tune into the last 10 seconds of the game.
Yeah, it seemed like an exciting game. Like 4-3 at the end there.
So happy I watched NXT.
We're ahead 3-2, but we're going away.
Yeah.
Yeah, exciting stuff. We haven't done too well away to Tampa so far. So.
No, I mean, I know you're new to Toronto in the past. You've moved here in the past 5 years or so, but things never go the Leafs way. So I don't get my hopes up, but why not? Let's get excited.
Let's get our hopes up.
We did
gonna
win
happen.
A game.
It's coming home.
It's going to happen. It's coming home. Yeah. To Canada.
Yes.
The rightful home of hockey.
Mm.
Yeah. So I guess the Leafs... they got to do one more, and then they advance.
One more. They're ahead 3-2 so far.
Austin 3-16.
And the next one's on Thursday?
Is it?
I think so.
Nice.
I'm working it.
Oh, that's going to be busy.
Yeah, be busy. Good.
We can. We live downtown Toronto. We can see outside of our window right now, and the Leafs game's just emptying out, and there is lots of cars, lots of people. They call it Jurassic Park when the Raps play. What do they call that area when... the Leafs
Maple Leaf Square, is it?
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
That's what it's actually called. But yeah, Maple Leaf Square. Yeah, true.
The forest. I don't know.
The forest?
The Maple leaves. Leafs.
Yeah.
Leafs.
The leaf. The yeah. All right.
Yeah.
It looks like it was a fun time. So go Leafs, go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All the welcome to our sports podcast.
Yeah. Little bit of housekeeping to start with. We will not be going live tomorrow night with AEW Dynamite. We're going to be doing show on Thursday.
Yes. Instead. I think we said 2 p.m.
2 p.m. Thursday?
Yeah, we're going to do a quick little show on 2 p.m. during the day on Thursday for BD Elite. So, yeah, we'll go live on Twitch Thursday at 2, and then we'll put the show up right after that on this free feed.
Because tomorrow we're going to be playing this all day.
Oh, WWE 2K22.
Yeah.
Damn.
Got it.
Uh-oh.
You said we have people over tomorrow, so I ordered it today, and... God bless Jeff Bezos. It arrived today as well.
I mean, that's a good dude, that Jeff. He gets us our games in time.
Yeah.
I heard you can download 2K19 stuff now onto this game.
What do you mean? Like...
2K19... Sorry, what was the last game we played? Not the
We had 19.
19. They took a break from 21?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I heard that they are letting you download the creations, the community creations for the new game. That means you can download... the BDE clawed out venue that B Detroit made us.
I mean, I think he should just make us a pimped up.
Yeah, he's probably
2K22 one.
He's a busy guy, but I'm sure he's cooking up something. Shout out B Detroit. We'll be seeing him in June for Dynamite in Detroit. But yeah, wow, 2K22. All right, we're gonna have to start giving some reviews in the next.
Yeah.
Let us know what characters should we be downloading.
Maybe fire up the Twitch again.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, who should we play as first? Who are we going to be?
That's always a big thing every year. Remember, you get the game every year? Okay, who's new? I don't even know who's in the game, who's not in the company.
I think all the people I want to play is probably not in it anymore.
Yeah, we usually download a lot of created guys. So I'm always just blown away by what some people create on those community things. So I'm excited. All right, sweet. Let's do it.
Should be fun.
We'll definitely follow the socials because we might randomly Twitch stream and stuff like that. You've been back, but we haven't played any of the new Mario Kart levels.
I know.
As well.
I was talking to someone about it the other day. I need to play them.
Sweet. Yeah, but no, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm super excited. We can play as Rey Mysterio, 1, Rey Mysterio 2. There's like 6 different Reys.
I was looking at it, and there's all these other ones. It's like, I don't want to pay like another $50 to get the NWO. It's like, just put... that's what I don't like about games these days. I remember like getting like WWF Warzone or Attitude, and you'd have to win characters. You know, you'd have to like complete the Royal Rumble from number one as Mankind to unlock Cactus Jack or something like that. I don't like this all, oh, just pay another $50 and we'll give you Goldberg.
Yeah, it definitely feels...
I'm like, because I would then go like, eh, I mean, I don't really want the NWO that much. It'd be nice to have him in there, but I don't care.
Yeah.
And then it's when you start trying to create wrestlers and it's like, oh, you can't download this created wrestler because you don't have...
The leg drop.
Yeah.
Leg drop 3.
You don't have Kevin Nash in his second attire. It's like, that stuff annoys me.
Yeah.
But just want to play a game and win things.
Yeah, I'm excited. Maybe we'll play shortly and then we'll Twitch stream some games and stuff. Because we had a blast during the pandemic with 2K19.
Pandemic was great.
We had a blast.
We had a great pandemic.
It was great. Playing video games inside. But yeah. Wow, I'm excited to play that. Welcome to the show, everybody. What else we got? Housekeeping.
We've got a few Patreon shows coming up this week.
Yeah, I mean, now's a great time. The month is still the first week of the month, which means $5 goes a long way. North American tier. You get access to all the past podcasts on that Patreon, including all the best matches ever, all the retro pay-per-view reviews, all the retro NXT reviews. But you also get stuff that's coming out this month, including last week in honor of the Owen Hart Foundation tournament and what would have been Owen's 57th birthday last Saturday. We did a best match ever, Owen Hart, and that was awesome. I think me and you had a great time looking back at, of course, all the ones everyone expected us to talk about, the Bret Hart rivalry and all that stuff, but some hidden gems in there. Pegasus Kid, Liger.
Bulldog,
which was awesome. Shawn Michaels, hot take. Owen has had a better match with Shawn than Bret has had a match with Shawn.
I don't disagree with you there.
Listen to that show because that was an awesome show. Of course, we got Was Next. We got some retro NXT coming out this week. Well, I didn't give an update. If you listen to that show, I talked about Mother's Day was this past week. I got my mom on one of those shows. We talked about how I ordered, shout out Amazon, shout out Jeff Bezos, the Elvis squirrel.
Yes.
Big hit. Mom was a big fan of the Elvis squirrel. What do you even call that?
Like a ornament?
Like
garden ornament?
Yeah, garden. Not a gnome, but like a squirrel that was dressed as Elvis. It was a big hit. All the other shows that we have out there on the podcast. This Friday is a Friday the 13th, which means we're going to be chatting all about Friday the 13th, part 2.
Yeah, we've decided to get the series back on track. We did a Friday 13th many moons ago. We looked at the first film. We've then hopped around. We've taken Jason to space.
Boy.
We've taken Jason to Elm Street.
That one's great, yeah.
And we thought it's time to go kind of back into timeline order. Yeah. We're talking about part 2. Really, Jason's first film. Really.
Yeah, Jason wearing a bag on his head.
Yeah.
Can't
Terrifying.
Wait. Yeah. Can't wait. Can't wait.
We both just saw Doctor Strange recently.
This is true.
Some kind of Jason moments in that film as well. A lot of like horror inspiration there.
Lots of horror. I thought that was one of the goriest, most brutal Marvel movies or comic book movies, really, because there's lots of violence in it. I'm not giving anything away, but it gets pretty gory. Sam Raimi, Evil Dead. We've chatted about Evil Dead on the Patreon many, many months ago, many years ago. So yeah, I actually really enjoyed it. It was cool. It was a good movie to watch in 3D. It's like, that's what these are made for. I don't want to watch, you know, I need to see the crazy graphics. It's not always up my alley. CGI stuff is not usually my thing, but just almost 2 hours straight of fun,
I think,
a ride.
After seeing that first Doctor Strange film and seeing how visually impressive it was, and then all the stuff they did in
No Way Home
as well, it was one of the rare times where I was like, actually, I want to see this in 3D. Whereas often if I go see a film in 3D, it's because the time suits me better or something like that.
And
I'd rather just see it in 2D. But this was definitely one I wanted to see in 3D. And I loved it.
Yeah, it had some cool Easter eggs and stuff like that. It wasn't one of my favorite ones, but I still really enjoyed it.
What I liked about it is it felt a bit of a different formula for me yeah. to the normal Marvel films. Like, I enjoy all the Marvel films. Mm-hmm. I've never come out one being like, well, that was shit. Like, right. I've always enjoyed them. Some I like more than others. But I felt it just felt like a little different than normal, which yeah. I appreciated.
Yeah, no, it had some cool stuff in it. And the Avatar trailer.
Yeah.
Like, I could give two shits about Avatar, but then I watched the trailer in 3D and I was like, wow, that animation looks like
stunning,
like more incredible than anything
yeah.
I've ever seen. So I mean, I probably still won't give a shit about Avatar, but I might have to check it out in the 3D thing because it looks just so crazy. I can't even remember what that movie is about.
It's like Pocahontas.
Pocahontas with blue aliens, yeah. essentially.
What's the other one? Fern Gully? Did you ever see that?
No.
It's Fern Gully. Oh. But yeah, if you want to hear more about Doctor Strange, I know our very own John Cena, Mr. Shot in the Dark, joined Waiting and WH Park yesterday to talk all about it on MCU Later. So check that out if you're a post patron as well.
Yeah, go check that out because he nerds out all over the Doctor Strange. But I really enjoyed it, 100%. It was a fun movie. It lacked Spider-Man, though. They kind of catfished me a little bit.
So, okay. I believe this was meant to come out before No Way Home, which makes a lot more sense. This was meant to come out right after WandaVision, I believe.
Right.
And he was meant to, Benedict Cumberbatch was meant to shoot stuff for that finale of WandaVision, I think. But then the pandemic screwed it up a bit, and that's why the finale of WandaVision feels quite rushed.
Right.
And that's why, I figured this film would be a lot more linked to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
There's just, one scene, which I imagine they shot, way after, where they kind of just mention him briefly.
Yeah, and that's where it was kind of Back to the Future-esque, where it's like they're saying things that may or may not really make sense or be canon with it, but they're just mentioning it. So, yeah, it was a little – I was like, okay, there were certain things in the trailer, months and months ago that I watched that kind of lead you to believe it's a different movie.
Oh, absolutely. But, yeah. I thought it was going to be a completely different story to what it was.
Because I did not like WandaVision. I was so bored. I finished it, but that put a definite sour taste on my... I haven't watched really any of the other Marvel stuff. I've really enjoyed the Star Wars Disney Plus stuff, and I'm super hyped for Obi-Wan. We will be doing a recap show when that finishes and wraps, but that hasn't even come out yet. So that will be something. For people wondering, hey, where's the Star Wars stuff? That will come back. But WandaVision didn't really move a needle for me, and this movie does tie into that quite often. So when I realized that, a few minutes into the movie, I was like, okay, but I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I really, WandaVision was one of my favorites.
Yeah. A lot of people loved it. Yeah.
But it made you realize with this new film, you got to watch these shows.
Right.
Because I think if you had gone into this film having not seen WandaVision, there's a lot of stuff you don't know. A lot of, backstory you don't really understand going into it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely made these TV shows kind of essential if you want to see these movies now.
And, I mean, everyone's, the trailers and everything alluding to, some sort of X-Men kind of crossover. I mean, if you have Wanda, if you got Professor X and stuff like that, there's definitely ways that you can bring in X-Men. And I'm wondering what happens with the X-Men. There hasn't really – the last few movies have flopped, so I'm wondering – do they reboot the X-Men in some sort of new crazy way? Or do they say, hey, Hugh Jackman, here's $300 million and 300 alpacas for you to come back as Wolverine because we don't know what to fucking do. So, but I'm interested.
It would be cool to see Hugh Jackman in these films. But also part of me is like, just restart it.
Yeah.
Reboot it all.
Yeah.
You can always do your multiverses where we can see other versions if you want down the line, but I don't know. I feel it should get a hard reset because that timeline is messy.
It's so messy. It was way messy before all these multiverse things. I will say, out of all the multiverse stuff, I did watch that movie Everything. Fuck, I can't remember the name of it. Everything All This Time at Once. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Okay.
That movie is fucking amazing. I highly recommend watching this movie. Also highly recommend watching it in theaters as well because the visuals and effects were just outstanding. And I think that was probably my favorite movie, full stop. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets nominations next year in some way, shape, or form just because I walked out of the movie theater and I was like, can I watch it again? They should have that option where you leave the movie and go, okay, pull it back.
Go to a theme park when it's quiet.
Run it back. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'll just sit on.
no one's in line. Just run it back. I want to watch it again. Because that's how I felt about that movie. So, and that's very, that's, I'd never feel that way out of a movie. Because now I feel like there's different things you would miss and stuff like that. But Jamie Lee Curtis is in it as well. And I just, I thought that was outstanding. So I highly recommend checking that movie out. I'm trying to think of other stuff revolving around wrestling news that we talk about normally.
But so Backlash?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. I had some dental surgery this week. I'm still kind of, I can't believe, I think it's that Red Bull you got me. I'm feeling a lot more alive.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was down. I was like injured earlier. Yeah. Like I was down the past few days. But we watched Backlash and I watched Raw this week. That's how you know I'm on the couch. But you know what? I didn't mind both shows. There's a lot of stuff I still fucking shake my head at and snicker at. But
I really enjoyed Backlash.
Yeah.
I thought, like, it was like just, it was just wrestling. All the matches got time. There wasn't any like really backstage bullshit. It was just some good matches. And I would argue some of them might be better than their WrestleMania counterparts. Ronda versus Charlotte, especially. I thought that was an excellent quick match.
Yeah, yeah.
I really loved that. And I didn't like the first one at all. Cody versus Seth, I think you could argue that was a better match. I think Edge and AJ had a better match than at Mania. You know what? Even Omos and Lashley had a better match than Mania. Hmm. I didn't mind Backlash at all. I thought it was pretty good. And you know what? Raw, the best way to watch it, just have it on in the background. Have your mates over. Yeah. Have a little chat. Make some dinner. Check out Raw. It's not bad that way. Sitting down to watch it intently for 3 hours? No.
Yeah, there's stuff you can check out of for sure, including that Lacey Evans garbage they've been airing. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Yeah,
that was like that is almost like insulting to didn't like, you know, do that to me. I could see someone watching that being like, hey, that's offensive. Like you're using whatever she's using and saying and all this stuff as a, like,
it's just done in such an insincere way.
Exactly.
If it was done as like a Michael Cole sit down interview, like, let's get to know the real Lacey Evans.
Sure.
I think it would work, but it's this straight to camera with the US flag behind her. And like, it almost looks like, are they going to present her as a heel?
Yeah.
Which is just bizarre.
Still weird. Yeah.
Bizarre. And it just feels very, I don't know, like whenever I watch X Factor or American Idol or Britain's Got Talent or any of them, it's like,
my mum died.
Oh, my mum died and I lost my brother. He fell down a well and therefore I'm going to sing Alicia Keys.
And then
I just want to make everyone proud.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And then everyone cries and you're like, yeah, I mean, it's good TV. You got me. But
yeah, it didn't feel like
it just feels like that kind of thing where it's really like
forced,
emotional.
Yeah.
Like,
I hope they change that.
I think there is a way to make it work. Like, as I said, in a different context to get this. She's got an amazing story, which should be told. Like, way more interesting than being this former, like, what was she? Like,
I miss Southern, Belle.
Or whatever.
You're nasty.
But it's just done so in such a tacky way.
Yeah, it was terrible. I didn't understand what I was watching. I'm trying to...
Is the next video going to be about how Ric Flair got her pregnant and then just left her? Is that what the next video is going to be about? She had to raise.
Was that the storyline before?
I mean, they were a thing on TV, and then she left because she was pregnant, and then we never saw Rick again either.
Oh boy, yeah, that's odd. Yeah, I didn't mind that. I did mind that. I didn't like that at all. I'm not sure about the Edge stuff.
Yeah,
it's the Edge AJ match at Mania was a fine match. The match at Backlash was a fine match, but I was expecting more. Years as a fan being like, oh, imagine if these two ever fought. Didn't quite live up to that, I think. I get what they're doing with Edge and now Rhea Ripley. I mean, me and you were like, oh, it's got to be Rhea who joins them. It would definitely change things up. I still think they're going to add someone to the group. Ciampa would be a great addition because I watched him on Raw and they're treating him like he's
not there.
Not even there. And he won a match.
Yeah.
And they cut away right away to get to the angle with The Miz. I just was so confused.
It was really weird in that match because he did two of his, like, spots. He did the, like, patting himself on the back thing.
Yeah.
Which they cut away to picture in picture. And then he did his wave to Ali.
Yeah.
Like, his creepy wave. And they cut to The Miz.
Yeah, it's like, strange.
Yeah, it's very odd. And I that would be great, putting Ciampa with them.
With the Judgment Day.
The Judgment Day.
Yeah, strange name, but hey, it's all right. I just like how Damian Priest is like, all rise, and everybody stood up.
What about the haircut?
Yeah, I mean, he's an older guy now. You can't be rocking the long mangy.
Yeah, you can. He should.
He has never wrestled in short hair.
He hasn't, no.
So it's Money Train hair. No, Money Plane.
Money Plane.
Not Money Train.
Yeah.
Money Plane hair. Remember that movie?
Yeah. I never watched it. Who did you do that with? That
I think
show?
I made Sino watch
okay.
it. Sino and me did Money Plane with Frasier and Edge.
I remember I was like, oh, I'm too busy. I can't do this one. And then you were like, why am I watching this film? And I was like, I'm so glad I'm not.
I remember. It's like an hour long. It was like a straight to digital something. It was so bad.
Is that on the Patreon somewhere? Or Free Feed?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Check it out, guys.
Yeah, somewhere.
Money.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. And WWE seems like they're trying to turn a corner, but every time I watch it, it's like they've changed. Not that I'm a fan of Austin Theory, really, anyways, but they change his name to Theory. Mm. They change everyone's names to just one names. Like, everyone's Madonna. Everyone's Rihanna. It's just one name, and I think it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Because when you watch TV shows or movies, it's not like that. Mm. People have actual fucking names. So it's just... it's just weird. Mm. I can't get behind, especially when the guy still has, you know, the logo with the AT, but his name is just...
I mean, you could say that's for Atlanta.
Atlanta?
All his things are like the ATL and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, he's got a weird like Lil Jon theme thing going on. Yeah, I don't know. There's some stuff that I was like, hey, maybe... Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is something I'm like, hey, like... how you presented yourself in AEW is pretty much how you're presenting yourself here. Maybe with some tweaks, because you realized... having an open mic sometimes, you said some stupid shit and people booed you. Maybe now you're fixing those kinks and stuff, but it all seems good. And the Stone Cold podcast I checked out as well this week with Cody, and I thought that was pretty sweet too. He had a lot of – Cody always sounds Cody, so you don't know if he's sounding sincere or insincere, but I thought he did.
A politician, isn't he?
Yeah, he does sound like that. But a lot of the stuff he said interested
what
me.
What
I liked
about that Austin interview was seeing Cody – I think all the time over the last few years we've seen Cody presented, he's been like the big dog. I don't want to use that term, but like, you know, like in the indies, he was Cody from WWE, Dusty Rhodes kid taking over the indies, and had that like aura about him. And same in AEW as an EVP. He's in management there when he's talking, having him in a setting where he's looking up to someone like an Austin. It made him come across quite differently, I thought. I thought he seemed a lot younger when he was talking, because he had that almost fanboy in him that he's talking to Stone Cold Steve Austin, which I thought got a few like different things out of him than when we see him in that kind of politician-esque speech he does.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
So I really liked it. I think Austin's a great interview. I tend to enjoy all of those ones he's done.
I can't believe Austin said the best Zelda game was Breath of the Wild.
Have you played it?
No, actually.
I've heard it's very good.
I heard it's good, but Ocarina, it's just so good. I guess I have to. Mm. I guess I can. I guess I have to. I thought that interview was pretty sweet. What else is there? Anything else? I saw Kota Ibushi going off. I don't know what was going on.
I don't think I know the ins and outs of this.
Yeah, we got to get Bodhi from...
Bodhi Hayward.
Chase University to help translate the Japanese.
Translate, yeah. What, he was just going off on New Japan and
there's a
sex scandals?
A specific guy, I'm blanking on it, I don't have it open right now. Definitely dive into that probably on BD Elite this week. But it looks like Kota Ibushi's kind of airing some things out. Apparently he's had issues with this person before. Things tying back to, you know, maybe not being fully paid for merch and stuff. Okay. That seems that could have been the way, but I'm looking at this with all these different websites that are translating these things that are always also saying like, hey, the translations could not be
off,
you know, fully.
There's stuff like tone and things you can't always pick up on, isn't there?
Of course. So just a very, very strange situation.
Very odd,
but
turmoil in New Japan.
But it's Kota Ibushi. Like I'd
pay the man.
I can't.
He's a handsome guy who can wrestle. Pay
him. I mean, the guy is literally the most gorgeous wrestler in the history of wrestling, and he's fucking lit at
wrestling.
And
he's never going to age.
He doesn't
age. He's
going
to be like that for 30 years.
So,
he's an investment.
Yeah, I don't know why you would want to ever be on the opposing
side. It seemed like he was taking, like, shots at Taka as well.
Okay.
Because Tucker had that whole cheating scandal, which was why he left New Japan for a bit. Because he went like cheater's gun.
Like, right.
You assume Suzuki gun, Tucker.
Right, right.
Huh. Oh, very odd.
Yeah. I mean, the Forbidden Door thing is happening with AEW. A lot of people obviously want to see Kota Ibushi some way, somehow involved with that. But I don't think it's going to happen if this is the kind of thing that's happening right now. But I don't see him either also just jumping over to the U.S.
He's somewhat like in the past, he did that. There was that time where he wasn't signed with anyone. He didn't want to sign and was like under a mask in a dark match at Wrestle Kingdom and that kind of thing.
Right.
He's odd. Like he could just, you know, oh, I'll go to DDT.
Yeah. I know a lot of people
know is way beneath him.
Yeah.
And he should be doing these big things, but he's an interesting cat, that Kota.
Bless him.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. We'll talk all about more of that and Forbidden Door stuff and Double or Nothing stuff on Thursday with some BD Elite, but I guess we can talk about some NXT.
Yeah, NXT, May 10th, 2022, and talking about interesting cats, we have Joe Gacy driving a car with a kidnapped Bron Breakker in the back, wearing Jason Voorhees' bag over his head.
This is true, yeah. I mean, if you watched last week and you listened to us, you would be confused because you didn't see any of this last week. Because remember last week, it just cut to him almost being attacked.
Druids entered the ring and then fade to black.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Bron Breakker won clean.
Yes.
But the feud continues.
Yeah, because Druids came down, they attacked him, they beat him up, they tied him to like this
barbed wire board.
Bed. Bought like stretcher thing.
Yeah.
Put a bag over his head, loaded him in the back of a truck with a film crew, and Joe Gacy's driving around.
Okay.
Driving poor old Bronny.
We've made fun
Florida.
Of this. Like, yeah. They better be careful. There's gators out in them waters. Yeah. So we didn't even get to see all this last week. We literally said on the show, like, hey, by the time you're listening to this, it's probably .com.
They probably killed him by now.
Yeah, they've probably done something, and they did. And then they show it here today. But on top of Joe Gacy, so it started – someone needs to do a complete timeline of Joe Gacy's character here because it starts off he's woke. Then he's got a following. His following throws people off roofs. Then there's no follower guy. That guy's released. Now
there's Draco briefly.
Yeah, he's gone too. Then Gacy starts maniacal laughing, starts doing Rambling Rabbit, starts doing all sorts of Bray Wyatt knockoff.
Appearing in mirrors and
everything.
Like
shit. Literally,
dads.
Like literally pulled to the page in the wrestling handbook. Like, okay, let's go through all the spooky shit.
Yeah.
And now they've landed on, okay, tie someone to a board. Undertaker, Stephanie McMahon kind of vibes. Let's put him in the back of a car with the Druids still wearing the mask while Joe Gacy's still talking nonsense to the camera while he's like doing the maniacal laughing. And now they've like, make it even scarier. Let's add some glitchy effects to the video to make it look like the Matrix or something. This is completely stupid. This is one of the worst storylines, angles, rivalries ever.
And to add to it, and no disrespect to Joe Gacy.
All the disrespect to Joe Gacy.
But the thing is, whether you like this spooky shit or not, The Undertaker had a look. You know, the guy's, 7 foot tall. He's, like, terrifying looking. Long dark hair, tattoos, evil eyes. Like, you're like, all right, yeah, that's a spooky dude.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt, the same kind of thing. Like,
the guy at Best Buy?
This guy looks like, 100%. I'm pretty sure I bought my TV from this guy. And it's just not spooky. And therefore, we're seeing it. And I think it becomes even more evident that this is someone who is playing this part. You're like really trying to just, this is a role I've been given. Whereas you believe The Undertaker in this role. You know it's a guy called Mark playing it, but you believe The Undertaker. Bray Wyatt, for all his faults, like, he owned that character so much. And this just feels like a bloke that they've just given this spooky shit to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like it. It's really bad. I love spooky shit. I love scary movies. I love The Undertaker. You know what? I even give a pass to the spooky tattoo men over in AEW. I just said the Edge, the Judgment Day stuff. I'm like, yeah, it's iffy, but like, give it some time. It'll find its groove. There's always spooky shit wrestling. It's like a go-to play that they have ready. And whatever this character Joe Gacy is, it's not that. So like, why are they making him do all this stuff? Yeah. I refuse to believe that this guy's like, okay, so then I'll do this, and then I'll do... No, it's probably someone being, okay, yeah, then you're going to do this.
It's Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, then you're going to laugh. Oh,
we'll get you a pallbearer.
And then you're going to have two guys in druids, and they're going to be your men. And it's like, what? Like, what the fuck is... It's so lazy.
They're going to their props cupboard, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're literally opening,
it's so
oh, we
bad.
Got more of these druid costumes, like...
It's so bad. It's not even funny bad. It's just bad. Mm. It's just some guy in a black shirt who wants to take your order at the fancy restaurant. And then, you know, he's kidnapping people. He's the guy who's knocking on your door. Excuse me, have you heard of the Church of Latter-day Saints? No, like, stop. This character needs to just go away. And he lost clean. Therefore, we went, whew, good thing we're moving on. No, we're not. Mm. Now we're putting Braun in a lake. And they're promoting he's going to be back next week. It is so bad. This definitely, like, the 1 week of where he pushed him off the thing definitely did me in. Like, I was like, okay, this is definitely testing us right now to continue watching this, continue doing this show. But then they keep going with this feud. It's like, dude, they're gonna ride this thing out until it literally, like, dies the death it needs to finally. And then you're going to see Joe Gacy's been released.
Yeah,
unfortunately, which is unfair, because I do think the guy is a good wrestler. If you have seen anything of him before WWE, like, yeah, there was something there, but this ain't it.
Mm.
So I can't stand this.
So he says, we are on this journey together, but at this moment, it's time to be all alone. And he laughs. And we open up the show with the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship match. The team of Toxic Attraction, Gigi Dolin and JC Jane, accompanied by the women's champion, Mandy Rose, taking on the new team of Roxanne Perez and Wendy Chu. This, you know how you get a title shot these days? Steal your sandals and try to murder them in a sunbed.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So
that wasn't even the worst part of the show.
So Wendy Chu jumps the bell, attacking Toxic Attraction immediately. Perez goes for a roll-up, but JC blind tags in and hits a running neck breaker to break the pin for a two count. Gigi and JC are now teaming up on Perez, delivering double boots to the throat in the ropes. And then Roxanne makes the tag to Chu, who delivers I think she's got a great over-the-head belly-to-belly. Looks really nice.
Yeah, it's very like snap and fast.
Followed by her cartwheel elbow into the corner. And then as Wendy Chu is like standing on the ropes, Perez leaps through the legs of Chu, taking out Toxic Attraction on the outside, which looked really good. And Perez has a great hot tag. She's hitting elbows to Gigi in the corner. And then this like satellite into a side Russian leg sweep. And then Roxanne goes up to the top rope. But Mandy Rose slides into the ring, getting involved. Chu takes her out, and then Perez sets up for the code red, but the slight distraction allows Jane to boot her in the face, allowing Toxic Attraction to pick up the win.
Yeah, a pretty quick match. It does still focus around this angle with Toxic. Like, obviously, they've been the baddies, the bullies here, but Wendy and... having issues with them, and now bringing Roxanne into that whole mix. Last week was a bad way to set up the match, but like, hey, it set up the match. There was some cool stuff. I do think all four of them are actually pretty good wrestlers, especially Roxanne, considering she's the newest one that we've seen here. There's so much there. There's the technical ability that definitely shines through. And again, with Wendy, every time we see her wrestle, she looks so good, even though she's wrestling in a onesie and pretending she's tired. She's not doing the sleepy chops or things anymore.
She did a sleepy elbow.
She did a sleepy elbow? Okay. I didn't mind the match, but it was short, which I guess didn't piss me off.
No, I think the NXT women's division's getting stronger and stronger at the moment. And I really have liked what I've seen of Roxanne Perez in the last few weeks. And I can see her having the rocket strapped her.
100%.
So I quite enjoyed the match. I thought I liked JC's breakup of that roll-up pin with the neck breaker. I thought that was cool. And I actually quite liked the finish. just not overly into this Wendy Choo Mandy thing, which continues after the match as Wendy Choo gets hit in the back by the title belt and Toxic Attraction beat her down.
Yeah, like, I think Toxic Attraction need to move away from them and go forward with some new champions, some new stars. Like, whoever your champions are, they're the face of the show, any wrestling show you watch. So Toxic Attraction are basically the pillars of this women's division if Mandy's the women's world champ and the other two are the tag champs. But they're not strong enough pillars to show off. And if they were
in
to
ring or on mic.
Yeah, clearly. So and if they were to lose the titles, like, there isn't anyone else right now that has that, like, is at that, like, level here. Yeah, the women are the main focus of NXT, but, like, who would you put? Who would be our champion?
I think there's a few options for the women's champion, but the tag,
there's no teams.
Just get it on Casey and Caden, to be honest. Like,
sorry, Casey and Katana?
Katana? Katana Chance.
That's her name, yeah.
That's her name, that's right.
That's her name. Soon to be shortened to Chance.
Yeah. Heat them up. They're a good tag team. They've been there a while. They're an actual team. But, I mean, I would see down the line, it would be Cora Jade as the next champion, I would think. But what I would like to see from Wendy, when we get to this singles match, Wendy and Mandy Rose, which I assume will be at In Your House, which, can you miss it?
They kind of announced
today. I want to see, like, her, like, wrestling in the onesie, and then when she gets that, like, second gear, that Hulk up spot, the onesie comes off, she's in wrestling gear, and she fires up and, like, beats the shit out of
her. Yeah,
that could be a really cool moment. Whether they do it, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
We see Tiffany Stratton and Grayson Waller, and they're going shopping. Tiffany says shopping is the best form of medicine, especially after the travesty of last week. And they're kind of lamenting Grayson Waller's loss to Andre Chase. To Nathan Fraser when...
Right.
Andre Chase interferes with the horn. They say that Chase Yu's colors are tacky and that Nathan Fraser is a dork. And Grayson says that they will have a teachable moment as nothing is better than the Grayson Waller effect.
Yeah, this is them doing the clueless shopping Mean Girls thing, but with Waller and
her. They're both awful. Yeah. So why not?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. We see Roderick Strong training as the Creeds walk in and they want to talk. And they're still pissed off that Roddy interfered in their match against the Viking Raiders last week. And Roddy's like, don't tell me you're still mad. And the Creeds go, look, the Viking Raiders are undefeated in NXT.
They were.
Which was like, oh, yeah, that is right.
Do you remember? So they were undefeated in NXT. And then when they moved up, did they beat a tag team that was fighting them, challenging them? And then they left the titles in the ring?
They're
like,
right.
Yeah, we don't need this shit.
That's right. Yeah,
so they never.
It was Street Profits, wasn't it? The Street Profits kept on trying to beat them, and they wouldn't. They couldn't
in the basketball game.
I think in NXT, I think it was Street Profits, and then they left it, and then the Profits won in the ladder match. Right.
Okay.
So the Viking Raiders were undefeated, and they beat them, but there's a blemish to both of those records now because of that. And the Creed say they want a rematch, but this time they'll do it the right way, and they don't want Roddy to interfere. And then Roddy says, well, I'm actually introducing you to a new member of Diamond Mine, and says he's from the University of Minnesota, and I'm from Wisconsin, so we're practically BFFs, and introduces Damon Kemp, who is Gable Stevenson's brother.
Bobby Stevenson?
Right.
I think, right, yeah.
And Julius is a bit mad because he says, hey, I thought that new members are a group decision. And Roddy kind of points to his chest as if, like, well, I'm the leader of Diamond Mine.
Yeah.
So more dissension here, but I think Kemp is, like, a good choice to join this group. Kind of fits.
The wrestling?
Mm.
Yeah. I could see the Creeds leaving this,
I think
this
so.
Group and being baby faces and... I still wish they actually turned back and were like, yeah, let's be we got a win. Roddy helped us, but they're doing the opposite. Like, no, Roddy, you tainted that win.
I don't think this crowd would. I think this crowd like them too much as well, where they just wouldn't accept if they're
bad guys.
Heels anyway.
Yeah. I love the Creed brothers, and they say that the rematch is happening next week, and yeah. they don't want any interference this time, which sounds pretty good. I loved last week's match.
Yeah, so. And sounds like we might get more of a, like, furthering the breakup of Diamond Mine next week. I'm into this story, actually, because I think it's like... You're just waiting for Roddy to leave.
It's basically like,
are you writing
week?
Him out? Are you writing him
is
out this week? Is it this
is
week?
Happening? Is it happening now?
But no, I think they're all actually playing it quite well as well. This yeah. sort of breakup angle. And I like them all as wrestlers as well.
I mean, like, Roderick Strong, what's he going to do? Leave and then go join the super elite? Mm. There's already like 16 of those guys over there.
Yeah.
But if Kota Ibushi goes over, then you need the Bucks, Kenny, Kota... And someone else to face the four. Wait, how many people are in Undisputed Era?
Four.
Yeah. You need the fourth guy. Yeah. You need Roddy to join. Yeah. But Cody Rhodes did bring up Roderick Strong on that Austin.
Because he's on his list,
he
right?
said he's the one. And he's like, yo, we're both in the company. So, like, why aren't we doing this match?
Let's do it.
Cody, come to NXT.
You know what? I think the newest member of The Judgment Day, Roderick Strong.
Are you fucked? That's a terrible... No.
Just have him join every single group.
I won't stand for Roderick Strong.
I just imagine
slander.
Him with his goofy smile.
No, I won't stand for that. No, Roderick Strong deserves the world. I love Roderick Strong. If this is his position and he's staying, then cool. You know what? They are. It isn't. Maybe that makes it more interesting. The fact that, you know, some people do know the kind of the stuff online. If he does want to leave, right? Mm. Then that makes it more interesting. Is this the last time? Is he gone? Mm. Or do they go, you know what? We'll put more into you yeah. here. And this is them kind of giving that. Because I thought the story last week with them and continuing it here is kind of interesting. Like, okay, let's see where we can go with this. I don't know much about Damon Kemp, so I'm excited because he's supposed to be a good wrestler, so that does fit in with this Diamond Mine group. But yeah.
I really like Julius on the mic as well.
Yeah.
He sounds like a real dude.
They've gotten
like a
so better. Guy. Yeah, like, they've gotten so much better.
He sounds really natural and I like it. Like, I like that they don't have a character, per se. The yeah. character is they're just, like, good wrestlers.
I do miss Bivens, but yeah. they don't... They're proving that they learned a lot from him. They've, yeah. they've learned a lot on the mic.
We go to Joe Gacy, who's in the ring with his two druids. And he says, Bron Breakker, as I left you in the wilderness last week, I told you that you must face the next chapter of your journey all alone. My journey started months ago... And I open my doors to anyone to be a part of real change. And these two men next to me, they separated themselves from the back and the rest are no more. And these two proved their worth to me and themselves as the crowd are just relentlessly chanting, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Gacy sucks. All these chants at Gacy. He says that these are the faces of change. An expansion has begun and change takes place one person at a time. And I would like to appeal to Bron Breakker. Consider this your personal invitation. You don't have to do this alone. Be a part of our movement and change. The result is eternal joy. Affliction and hardship awaits those who resist.
Blah, blah, blah. Yabba, yada, yada. That's exactly what he's saying. Every fucking week, I'm so over this character.
And you're talking about the playbook or like going through.
Yeah.
This was Edge on Raw yesterday with his two hooded friends.
Yeah.
Beside him.
No, Edge was more, you people don't respect me. You people don't care about me. Edge, every fucking time you come out, your pop is ridiculous. Yeah. Were you there at the Rumble? It's nuts.
And Hartford, Connecticut is ugly.
Yeah. And your sports team suck.
Yeah.
No. Gacy here with the two druids, it's almost like he's going to be like, hey, here are my new guys. But then he doesn't reveal who they are. So it's just two random druids that don't fit in with the guy dressed up in an all-black button-up shirt. It just doesn't work.
I assume this is like... They will be revealed at some point, these two.
I don't care.
When they've decided who's going to be in this role.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So wait, the kayfabe-wise here, they left Bron Breakker like out somewhere in Florida in the middle of the night just in his gear?
I guess, but like somehow NXT management knows he'll be back by next week.
They're like, oh,
they've
don't
announced
worry.
Him for next week.
He's back next
Someone's
week.
Found him.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up. Like,
but also, Gacy's promo here. It started off by going, Bron Breakker, the next part of your chapter. The next chapter is you're all alone. But join me and not don't be alone. It's like...
Yeah, shut up. It's so stupid.
And I don't think he's a bad performer, this Gacy guy. No. It's just the content. And this crowd, this didn't feel like booing a heel either. It just felt,
oh no! It was felt like just, this sucks. Shut up! Shut just up! Stop.
This is awful.
Yeah, it's blah blah blah, yada yada yada, rambling buzzwords, and so over this.
We see Andre Chase with Bodie Hayward, and Saray comes up to them, and it's all subtitled, like live subtitles in Japanese here, live translation. And she says, "I heard what Tiffany Stratton and Grayson Waller said about you, so let's." Instead of you having a singles match, let's do a tag match. And Bodie Hayward translates this perfectly for Andre Chase. And he's like, whoa, how do you know Japanese? And he goes, well, of course I know Japanese. I'm enrolled in Japanese with Professor Miller. And
Andre Chase is like, oh, wow, we have foreign language department in Chase University? All right.
I kind of just made this whole university up. Like it's taken
he's like, what do you mean you're enrolled? In-
Sorry, who's teaching you?
What? It's like that episode in Community. I don't know if you watched it, but
yeah.
There's an episode where Jeff lies about the class he takes because he's like, yeah, I took this class to get the credit. And then it's like, this isn't is this a real class? And then he's like, yeah, it's a real class. And then the professor actually shows up and Jeff's like, oh
yeah, yeah, shit. Yeah,
like I'm not actually in this class. It's kind of like that. Yeah. Community. That's I mean, that's this is what NXT 2.0 is.
It's a better way of looking at it. It's community. It's just a load of crazy people at a wrestling school. Isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
We need a paintball episode. I mean, it's already happened. It's all
been 2.0. It's been paintballed to shit. Yeah.
So Saray says that she can't forgive Waller and Stratton, and she wants to tear them apart, and that's a teachable moment. So we're going to get a mixed tag match later on tonight. And this is where we're introduced to the inaugural Ivy Nile Challenge, and these vignettes air right throughout the show, and it's at the PC, and it's Ivy Nile with kind of all these trainees there, where she's taking them through like push-ups, through burpees, through chin-ups, all of that, and she basically says, I will outdo all of you. So like they all keep on doing press-ups until people can't do it anymore and they pass out and they leave, and ends up just being her and this one guy doing chin-ups, which I think is a bit unfair because the guy had a lot more weight on him than Ivy Nile.
It's like doing, double her size.
Yeah, but they're doing the chin-ups with the chain. I kind of like the idea of this, but I didn't like the execution.
Yeah, I agree. Everything makes sense. I mean, look at her. She's a unit. She's a beast. But the way they're filming this and making it doesn't make it seem cool or very impressive, actually, because it's just all these randoms getting tossed aside. But I think they could morph it and work on it and change it to something else.
I think if this was just, like, real, you know, like right. Ivy Nile in the PC doing cool shit would be cool.
But yeah, just show me what
this
you can
is,
do, yeah.
It's like people acting, like, they're like, oh, and 99, 100, where you haven't seen them do 100 press-ups. Yeah. And it's just some guy getting
like
up
Anchorman.
And going, oh.
I don't know if you heard, but I did over 100 of those.
And just these badly acting, like going, oh, I'm defeated now. But I like the idea. I think she, I mean, look at her. She's
jacked.
She looks great. She's jacked. She can probably outwork all these people in the PC. I just think, I don't know, make it feel a bit more real.
I thought they
like,
were doing
less produced.
Yeah, it said challenge. So I thought she was doing like a match, like someone, you know, like Kurt Angle Invitational kind of thing. Like, okay, step to me if you can beat me or whatever.
I think one-on-one would be more interesting.
Yeah.
If it was just her and in the PC, be like, all right, who can do the most press-ups in a minute? That
true,
kind of thing.
True, yeah.
And have her do those kind of things might be interesting.
Yeah, I'm also just like, okay, cool, but can you wrestle?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of these people that WWE sign are really athletic.
Yeah.
Can they talk? Can they wrestle?
Yeah.
I don't know. I do still see some good things for
it
her.
It does work for the Diamond Mine. Like,
is she even in the Diamond Mine?
Yeah. Oh. Well, she was there last week, wasn't she?
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd rather see
I don't
her
know.
Go through
I think,
tournaments.
I think something of this could work, but I didn't particularly like it this week.
Yeah.
We go to the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament, and we have all the competitors lined up on the stage, introducing them: Nikita Lyons, Ariana Grace, Roxanne Perez, Kiana James, Lash Legend, Tatum Paxley, and then the two women who will compete in the first match of the tournament, Fallon Henley and 19-year-old Sloane Jacobs. And Sloane's intangibles are she's crafty and scrappy, and Fallon Henley is tenacious and resilient.
What would yours be? Your intangibles.
My intangibles?
What is it? Intangibles?
Intangibles?
Intangibles. Intangibles.
I don't know. What would mine be?
Like loyal. Like, you're like a good guy. You're like Leo from Ninja Turtles. You're like the good guy. You're a clean cut baby face. How would you say that in your intangible?
Boring.
No, I wouldn't say that. But I don't know. What would mine be? Goofy.
Goofy and distracted.
Always distracted. Yeah, that is true. That works.
Yeah. Distraction finishes just caused by yourself.
Yeah, it's true.
So, first match of the tournament, Fallon Henley versus Sloane Jacobs. They start off with some grappling between the two. Sloane goes for a drop kick, but Fallon holds onto the ropes. And this is where Briggs and Jensen come out to support their teammate.
Yeah.
Cheering her on, Briggs wearing a beer country t-shirt. Yeah. look good. Beer season, sorry.
Beer season. It's always beer season. Yeah.
There's a big boot from Sloane, but Fallon makes it to the ropes on the pinfall. Then Henley hits, like, it's like Swerve did. Well, I can't remember what he called it. It's like the drop kick to the side of the head as they're on the floor.
Is it the drive-by? Is it the Swerve? Man, I'm forgetting. The house call?
House call.
Something like
that's
that.
That's it, yeah. Looked really good. And then she applies a key lock to Sloane here. Jacobs then comes back with a Rana off the top rope and a neck breaker, and then Fallon hits this combination neck breaker clothesline, it's kind of like, you know, when the Miz does the half neck breaker and then the full one. It was like that, but then into a clothesline. Thought looked pretty cool. And then Fallon follows up with the Shining Wizard for the win, and Briggs and Jensen celebrate with her.
Does she have the shiniest wizard?
It's a pretty good shiny wizard.
One else has the shiniest wizard here anymore. No. So.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Tegan Knox is gone.
Yeah.
Adam Cole's gone.
That's right.
AJ Lee's been gone for a while.
Shiniest wizard.
Shiniest wizard.
I've liked the little things we've seen from Fallon, whether it be the backstage. We made fun of Briggs and Jensen for so long, and then they like kind of bring in Fallon, and it kind of balances it out. Mm. It kind of makes a bit more sense somehow. And then wrestling, they say that Fallon is the oldest one in this tournament. She's 27.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like 20, 19, 21, something like that. So she's a lot older, but I thought she looked a lot...
ancient.
No. She looked... no, not at all. But she looked like polished.
Yeah.
Like she looked like she didn't need to be in this tournament kind of thing. So I'm actually interested in Fallon. We've already kind of been a little high on her, actually. We've been like, okay, let's see what she can do. And this, just a little taste of it. Unfortunately for Sloane Jacobs, but like... Fallon going forward was the right call.
And I think Sloane is probably someone who has just been called for this match. She's 19.
Yeah.
She's a prospect in the PC. I don't think she's a character we're necessarily going to see every week. But as a little showing on TV, I thought she looked all right, especially for 19. But it was all Fallon here, really.
Yeah.
And, I'm excited to see what comes from her because I do enjoy her. I think she's got a lot going for her.
And I mean, and she's got the gimmick. What's her gimmick? She likes horses?
Oh, she loves horses.
And bars?
Horses and bars.
Horse girl?
Although her music didn't sound very... Her music kind of sounded like the 2.0 music.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like...
Like Wale?
I was expecting more like country.
Old Town Road?
Yeah.
Country Road? Something like that?
Mm.
Yeah, true. Like, she should come out with Briggs and Jensen's music.
Yeah.
Which is more country-esque. Yeah. I'm impressed with Fallon. Yeah.
We go to Legado del Fantasma, who are asked about the peace agreement, which they've already broke when they kidnapped AJ Galante last week. And Santos says, well, AJ Galante should have never been at that meeting. He therefore became fair game, and he could never survive in Legado's streets. But Tony D'Angelo's crew are going to learn the hard way. You don't get involved in our business and walk away. Or walk again. Cruz, start the car. This is going to be on a shirt at some point.
Cruz,
start the car.
Start the car. Yeah.
More I think mafia. Even when he gets released, it should still be Cruz, start
Cruz,
the car.
Cruz, start the car. And then he goes and starts the car.
Yeah.
And, well, he tries. He does start the car, but
he
stops.
He gets beaten up. So he's in the car, and he sees Tony D'Angelo in front of the car.
Uh-oh.
And then one of his mates shows up behind him with, like, a garrote or something and starts.
Like, you said last week that, like, in order to, like, justify this whole mafioso shit, like, someone needs to die. Someone needs to get clipped.
We thought the car was going to blow up.
I was waiting for it. Yeah, I was waiting for Vince McMahon
like,
limo.
Turning the ignition, bam.
Or like any mafia movie where like they open it and it's like look up and it's like what?
Yeah, you always get a close up of their eyes first. There's like second
the realization. Cruz has exploded in this car bomb in Florida. Yeah, fucking.
Oh, crazy. You'd have got my attention.
Yeah, I think you could have done it where obviously they don't probably have the fucking budget for this, but like you could have had Cruz like going into the car and then realizing it and then like getting out just in time.
Bam!
And then the car explodes. Just cut to stock footage.
Fuck it, why not?
You know that, like, Austin Powers 3. I know this is crazy, but Austin Powers 3, they do, like, the callback. They explain, like, Michael Caine's story. But in the movie, they use footage from, like, other Caine movies. That's the joke. You could have done that. Like, just go, what? And him getting out of the car, and then cuts to, you know, some mob movie where the car, you know, cut to The Departed where a guy gets clipped or something. It's like,
yeah. No, this is quite funny. They beat up Cruz, they throw him in the trunk of the car, and yeah, Raul Mendoza always being thrown into trunks of cars.
Yeah, poor Cruz here.
Poor guy.
I mean, what's with kidnapping in wrestling? This is a heavy kidnapping area.
Especially NXT. They like, love it, kidnapping
yeah,
each
it's
other.
It's always been a thing here with the parking lot.
Yeah, Roddy got kidnapped, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
Austin Theory got kidnapped.
So many kidnappings.
You had Raul and Joaquin back in the day.
Imagine trying to tell your parents you're going to be a pro wrestler. I'm going to
Samoa
NXT.
Samoa Joe got kidnapped.
You're going to be like, why? You're going to be kidnapped. You could possibly die. Yeah, this is strange. But I mean, Bron Breakker got kidnapped and he's nowhere to be seen.
Bron's dad got kidnapped.
Wow. So many kidnappings. If we missed one, please let us know. But wow, lots of kidnappings.
I don't think Samoa Joe got kidnapped, but
yeah, maybe. He was fired and released and fired and released. And,
yeah. We get another vignette for Alba Fire, who's making her kind of re-debut here in NXT, going up against a returning Amari Miller, who's been injured since her match with Lash Legend in May when she got, in March when she got stretchered out. Taking quite a bad bump on the back of her head.
I kind of forgot about this. So Amari Miller took that crazy move from Lash Legend where she just like dumped her on the mat there. Mm. And then, yeah, was taken out. Showed the clip of that. Still looked like it hurt. But this is her comeback here.
Yeah. And she's up against Alba Fire. New gimmick. A lot of fire on the entrance. Fire Titantron.
It's lit.
This is obviously the former Kaylee Ray.
Yes.
And her hair's redder now. Her gear's a bit different. She's now in, like, combat pants. And, yeah. So, there's a nice roll through from Amari Miller and then a big slap to the chest from Alba Fire. Knee to the gut from Miller, followed by the arm drag off the second rope. And then a neck breaker for a two count from Miller. There's then a super kick and a swinging DDT for a two count. From Fire, followed by a backslide for two count by Miller, and then Alba Fire puts Amari away with the gory bomb, now named the Fire Bomb. Shouldn't it be the Fireball?
Fireball?
That could be a
Firebomb is all right.
Firebomb. Yeah. And then follows up with the Swanton Bomb, a really nice looking Swanton Bomb, actually, I thought, for the win.
Yeah, she always was a good wrestler. Alba Fire, Kaylee Ray, like the wrestling was there. We've watched a lot of her stuff before WWE, and I always thought she stood out. Mm. And this is the first time. I hate the fact that they change the names and they almost like the chance thing where she's just explaining why she changed her name. Here they had Wade Barrett on commentary being like, "Oh, she wasn't happy with the position she was in. She wasn't happy since she made her jump to NXT from UK. She thought she was lost in the shuffle. She couldn't find her footing. I'm like, all right, she's had some title chances and stuff, but okay, I see what you're going with. Therefore, this is like the brand new, this is the reset for her. So I'm like, okay, at least you said that. So it like does in fact start this thing. Whether that you just had her go, yeah, I like fire.
Yeah.
I like lighting things on fire. I'm a pyro. It's like, okay, you're actually explaining a little bit like, oh, this is the fresh coat of paint.
Yeah.
Here you go. So, I didn't mind that at all. It's unfortunate Amari Miller isn't in that tournament considering she has been kind of fodder around here for quite a while other than this 2 month hiatus, but
I actually thought she looked good here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, obviously it was a strong win for Alba Fire, but I thought Miller looked good, with her comeback here. I don't think Alba Fire is going to be in NXT too long. Like, watching her in this match, just she looks so polished at this point.
Yeah.
Like, get to grips with this new gimmick maybe, but I can't see what she'd do here. I don't think she's going to have necessarily another title shot or in for the women's or the tag.
Right.
And I think maybe just a few weeks getting to grips with this character and move her up, because I don't see what is left for her in NXT. Really.
Yeah, 100%.
She's so polished. Like, her wrestling is so slick at this point.
I think you could put her on the main roster. You could even have her as a heel, because, like, the whole fire thing, the rage thing. But I don't know.
The Judgment Day.
No, not necessarily that, but...
That's going to be my answer to everyone.
Put them in the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
The fire. Throw her in the fire. Yeah, it's fine. The fire thing. The problem is you're going to have to set someone on fire.
Yeah.
You're going to have to come out with a fire entrance. You're going to have to do something related to fire. And that could be iffy, but the wrestling is there and that's what matters. I thought she looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone in the Twitch chat right now, JPK Metz, is suggesting we do a best abduction ever episode
for the Patreon. Yeah.
Maybe Halloween time.
What other abductions in wrestling have happened? Like kidnappings? Well, Stephanie McMahon?
Stephanie.
Yeah.
There are so many abductions in wrestling.
So weird.
Why do we watch this shit?
Yeah, that's weird.
So, abductions show.
I can't even think of any other ones. I just think of the NXT ones because they're fresh in my mind.
There's so many.
There's so many. Yeah. How many times
have there been AEW abductions, haven't there? Did Abaddon abduct someone? There's definitely an impact in TNA. There's been abductions.
Oh,
there's been fucking deaths.
Yeah, there's been murders. Mickie James. Like, there's all sorts of crazy shit. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Damn.
Think about it.
Yeah,
let us
know.
That's one to think about. Mello and Trick Williams arrive to the arena, but Solo Sikoa has locked him outside for being late. That's kind of how it was when I was at drama school. If you were late, you got locked out. Like, nope, not coming in today. Wow. Showing up halfway through the show. Who do they think they are?
I mean, it's wrestling. They always do that. Yeah. So I was a little confused. Also, it's like he closes this side door when there's like six other doors and entrances.
Close them all.
Yeah, Solo Sikoa is running around locking all the doors and being like, don't let him in! I definitely don't believe that.
And then we got a Cora Jade interview, which... I was out of the room for.
You were going to downstairs to get 2K22. Yeah, Cora Jade is asked if she's nervous because she's facing Natty in the main event. And she says, of course she's nervous. She's facing a legend. But Natty isn't facing that little girl that she has photos with. And then it shows the photo with Natty and Cora from years ago. And she says she's not even facing the girl she was DMing with a year ago. She's facing me. And she's not even facing the girl she slapped a month ago. And Natty says she's the gatekeeper. Well, tonight I'm going to bust that gate open and I'm going to prove I belong and I can hang. So the future is bleak. No.
Nice. She sounded good.
Yeah. You like that promo?
I did. Yeah.
I good. Made it up. No. Completely false. No.
Fabricated.
We made it up.
We go to Solo Sikoa, who's in the ring, and he says, this is supposed to be Mello and Trick's time. And I think he was meant to say, but it's my time now.
He was, yeah.
But he said, because it's my time now.
It was supposed to be their time because it's my time. And they're like, yeah.
Ooh, Uso. Yeah. They love this
yeah,
guy.
They love him anyway.
They're like, whatever. Yeah. There's Uso chance. He goes, everyone here is talking about the North American Championship. You all know what happened last week. And if Melo wants to have a one-on-one title shot, well, that's cool. I'm going to be right there watching, and I've got next.
I got next.
And I don't care if it's Grimes or Melo. And Cameron Grimes comes out, and he's getting boos.
Again.
Yeah.
He's always getting booed, this Cameron.
Is this just the you're not Solo Sikoa, so we're booing you? Like the kind of like yeah. Daniel Bryan thing back in the day? Or did this guy shit on Izzy or something? Like, what's going on here? Because it's weird. Because this guy was such a fan favorite for so long.
And then finally wins the title, and then they boo him. Yeah, yeah. It's very weird. The crowd has been different in the past little while. So maybe it's the same people coming through, and they've changed, you know. There's fucking 50 people in this crowd. So, I mean, if you go with four of your friends,
yeah.
those are the people who are cheering. No matter what this show tells you with all the fake audio and stuff, if you watch this and you didn't know anything, it sounds as if there's an arena full of 20,000 people with the audio fake boos and sounds they use. And then it shows, no, this is a Nickelodeon kids show set with 100 people. Yeah, they're booing Cameron Grimes. And then they're also chanting, "You got lucky."
Yeah.
At him. So they're turning on our boy Grimes.
I don't like him.
Yeah.
Grimes says, "I respect you just like this crowd respects you. And I understand you want another chance, but at In Your House, it's going to be Grimes versus Melo." And we're like, sorry, at what?
At what? In Your House?
In Your House? When's that? We didn't get a graphic or a date for it on the show today.
No.
That I'm aware of. He says, "At In Your House, it's going to be Grimes versus Melo one-on-one. But once I beat Hayes, you have my word that you are the next challenger." And they shake hands, but Melo and Trick manage to get into the building and they attack Grimes as Solo is like halfway up the ramp. And Solo turns around, sees what's going on, and comes back and makes the save just as they're about to do like Melo's leg drop through a chair on Grimes' head. So... yeah.
I assume we get a tag match again, which I think they've
announced a tag for next week.
Yeah.
So Melo and Trick versus Grimes and Sikoa.
Yeah. So, I mean, whenever this In Your House happens, it's Grimes versus Hayes one-on-one. And then the winner of that, I guess, faces Solo Sikoa in sort of a rematch there. But
I'm just looking when it was. It was in June 13th last year was In Your House.
So it's probably in a month.
Yeah.
Considering we just had this spring break thing last
week.
Will that be
Money in the Bank weekend, I guess?
Hey, maybe they make it a...
Because they're doing the big stadium show, so it might be a...
It would be awesome if they did that again.
That's it. That's not till July 2nd, but that would be cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they could. I think they need to do with the North American title what they do with like the TNT title. Well, not recently, but like have it like the workhorse title. That's what the mid-card title is supposed to be, right? So like why isn't Grimes like defending this again, defending, you know, against some random oncomers? Like, you know what I mean? Like he should be facing some new people and like
some people from the PC and like we maybe just see for 1 week.
Yeah, and like have definitive wins and like prove he's the champ and kind of get over again and let the crowd, I mean, maybe the crowd will boo him anyways, but like kind of get the title over, because really, like, he won the match last week, cool, and it was a great match, but I still think if that is where you're going to build towards, you can't, what, you're just going to have them promo and do mixed tag matches for weeks?
Yeah, but I don't overly mind that, because I like all three of these guys.
They're good. So yeah, they are good.
And I do see Solo coming out of this as the champion.
Me too.
In the next couple of months.
For sure.
We go back to Legado del Fantasma, who can't find Cruz.
Ah, where's
Cruz? Cruz?
He's always late, they say. Do you believe Raul Mendoza's always late? I don't believe
it.
No. He looks like he's always there early.
Joaquin looks like the one who'd be late all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joaquin.
That's his intangible, is it? Always late.
Loves DJing.
Yeah. So Santos calls Tony. Tony answers the phone. Who is it?
Who is this?
Santos goes, "It's me." "Me who?" "Me." "Ah, it's you."
This reminded me of that Family Guy Tom Brady thing where he calls him. Who is this? Who are you? Is it you, Tom Brady? Oh, it is. What? Tom Brady? No, it's me, Peter. Oh, okay. And then he hangs up and then the phone rings again. Look, Peter, I told you. No, it's me. Listen here, Tom Brady. Or I don't remember the bit, but it's not, he's doing the thing like, what? Who is this?
Who is this?
This is super mafia now. They're in like a clubhouse, dark lights,
there's music,
poker table.
Dark lights, yeah.
Yeah.
And Santos goes, whoever did this is in big trouble. And word on the street is your consigliere. Did I say that right? Is in rough shape. And, well, Tony goes, well, you let my guy go and I'll open the trunk and let your guy breathe. So they agree to a match next week. And then Tony gets really heated on the phone. He's getting all worked up. And then Santos just goes, hey, Tony, fuck you.
And then hangs up. And then Tony gets so furious, he flips over his table and his boys are like, yo, you good?
I love this.
Ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. But like, I do think both guys are playing it quite well. I thought Tony actually showed a bit more of a serious side here, as ridiculous as this all was. He's always been the,
Yeah.
And I saw more the, like, sinister mob boss in him this week. It is ridiculous, but I get more enjoyment out of this ridiculous stuff
than I
do with the Gacy stuff. I think this is fun. And it's campy and silly, but it's pretty entertaining.
It's almost like this, they're trying to do the Sopranos thing with him. Like, they're trying to do, like, where, you know, what is it, Tony in the show, he's at the Bada Boom, but he's got the back room. That's kind of what this is supposed to be. I would love it if they're at the Rippers and, like, you just see, like, the feet when they're talking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That would be pretty funny. But, I love mob everything. I love mob docs. I love mob movies. I love everything.
The mob's great.
Yeah. Two Bros Pizza. I love the mob. But I'm still like, it's still coming across really cheesy. I will say though, improvements is his lackeys. They definitely listen to us. We were making fun of them, how they look like
the
bowler hats and stuff.
Yeah.
They look different.
They
look like they're actual people now with leather jackets. They look like they would actually hit me over the head with a crowbar or something. Whereas before they look like, you know, you go to some Italian restaurant and they're the guys bringing out your pasta and like in gimmick or something. But here they actually look more of a unit. So it's coming together.
They look more like strippers before.
Yeah. I mean, wrestling, a lot of people look like strippers, but you know what? I think I didn't really like this, but I like the direction it's going in. And I guess I like it. I hate like it. Like I like it and I hate it at the same time.
Yeah. You're always going to get this goofy shit
in
wrestling. And I don't know. I thought this was fun.
I do think you need to do more, like, go next level. Like I said, we wanted someone's car to blow up.
Murders,
but like, you need murders. It's the mob, right? Like, what else do the mob do in these movies that, like, send messages and all this stuff? Like, AJ Galante, we should never see him again. Santos should be like, yeah, he's gone. We fed him to the to the whatever. But, yeah, ridiculous. This show is just crazy. You go from a guy being kidnapped by dudes in Halloween costumes to dudes in Italian Halloween costumes kidnapping other people.
It's Community. We completely got it. Yeah.
It's like all over the place.
Shutter Island. It's all these things.
And then it's like, hey, here's like six new women who are going to wrestle that their characters are, they're wacky or whatever their intangibles are.
This scrappy 19-year-old.
Yeah. It's just like this whole show is just so bizarre.
Love it. We go to Nathan Fraser, Willy Wonka himself, and he says he's excited and he's on cloud nine as last week was the coolest night of his life when he beat Grayson Waller.
I think he's lying.
He said Chase, you are his guys and he's cheering for them tonight. And this is when Zion Quinn comes in and tells him to keep his head down and run it straight. And Wes... And Nathan Fraser's like, yeah, that's all cool, thank you, but what does run it straight mean? And that's when Wes Lee comes in and goes, yeah, I don't know what run it straight means either. I asked him the same thing. Quinn goes, look, I've already put you in your place, referring to Wes Lee, and I wouldn't mind putting you in your place as well, to Nathan Fraser. And Zion says that he'll put more pain on Wes Lee if he continues.
Okay, I quickly searched run it straight meaning. And of course, Zion Quinn being, Australian.
Right.
He is a former rugby player.
Okay.
And when I searched in Urban Dictionary, run it straight When someone has a rugby ball or other rugby ball-like object and sprints into another individual who yells out, run it straight. Sometimes the individual who yells out, run it straight, will get rolled or put a big hit on. Basically, if you say that, like, you're gonna better run it straight. I still don't know what that means.
Isn't it just like, keep it real?
Run it straight.
Yeah.
Just like, be real. Run it straight.
Like, just like, you know, like, run it straight. Run it straight.
Just three dudes talking about run it straight.
I think Fraser definitely comes across as a dork in these segments.
Zion Quinn too. Zion Quinn looks like he's such a cool badass dude, but I don't buy it. I don't think going to the gym and getting crazy jacked instantly makes you cool.
No.
And talking about run it straight as your catchphrase, hey, maybe it'll work out, but something still isn't kind of clicking. And then Wes comes in, and he kind of oozes that, like, more so. We used to make fun of MSK when they wouldn't be cool. This is, like, just Wes now. This is just him kind of finding this footing, and I think it comes across a bit more real and better for him.
Yeah. And I'm interested in Wesley's singles run, but also I don't think the idea of him and Nathan Fraser as a tag team occasionally is a bad idea.
Sure.
I think they could be a pretty entertaining tag team. This Zion Quinn thing, yeah, we'll see where it goes. I'm a bit hit and miss on him. I think I've seen some stuff he's done that looks quite cool. Other stuff that doesn't. The acting doesn't really work for me at the moment. But you look at the dude and you go, well, if you can work out those things, you do look cool, so it could come together. But, yeah, we'll see.
A few people in the Twitch chat are saying that Zion Quinn's gimmick is just he's a dick to everyone and that he should have called Nathan Fraser Willy Wanka. Good one. And then...
It is, though. It's like this... like, he did the same with Draco. It's like this false looking out for someone, but almost thinking he's above everyone, looking out. And sometimes it's like... fuck off, I don't need your help.
He's got a good look, though. I just, like, something is, yeah, definitely not. But also, Fibergrass in the Twitch chat says, Tony D'Angelo's crew is driving the most mob car ever, a Toyota Camry.
Right.
Didn't realize that, but yeah, that's very mob.
Is that Tony D's?
It's not.
Well, we don't even have a car,
so
who are we to talk? We go to... Saray, Andre Chase, and Bodie Hayward, and they're backstage about to make their entrance for their match.
Oh my God.
They're looking at Saray, who's in her, like, school uniform, and they go, wait, are you going to wrestle like that? And then she's looking at her necklace.
The amulet.
And they walk through the smoke, and they come out the other side, and Saray is in her Warrior of the Sun gear. Andre Chase's sweater has turned baby blue. And Bodie Hayward is now dressed like a schoolgirl with pigtails and everything.
Got glasses, pigtails, like a crop top shirt. So it's like the multiverse version of these guys. Like they come through the thing and they've changed completely. Because he's looking at his own thing like, whoa, what happened? I'm wearing blue now. What's going on?
I don't know if the crowd saw this on the screen, the before bit.
Because they're just like,
they look very confused.
They're just like, yeah, I did see it on screen and I still was very confused.
Oh, they're just being silly.
I laughed. Don't get me wrong.
It's funny.
I love Saray's theme. Saray's theme is a banger.
Yeah.
For sure.
So they're taking on Grayson Waller and Tiffany Stratton. Starts off with Chase and Waller going at it. And they're doing some, like, classic just wrestling here. And Chase gets Waller down and starts mocking Waller's taunt. You know, like the knee to the knee to the knee thing he does. Mm-hmm. And then Waller tells him to come on at him, but tags in Stratton and then goes behind her with his hands behind his back, kind of sticking his head out. And then Saray comes in, as it's obviously women versus women, men versus men, applies the Muta Lock to Stratton. And then there's a big double hand chop from Chase as both are in the ring, stomping down on Tiffany and Waller. And they both say in English and Japanese that... was a teachable moment. Waller then assists Stratton, like flipping her into a standing moonsault onto Saray, which looked pretty nice.
Yeah, that was impressive.
And then Waller hits his elbow drop off the second rope to Chase here. but Saray breaks up the cover. And now Saray is all over Tiffany Stratton. She hits her crazy drop kick to Waller in the ropes, but then turns around and Tiffany attacks her from behind and hits her twisting Vader bomb. What did you decide to call this thing?
I mean, they still haven't given it. Yeah. I mean, the paycheck makes sense.
It looks really... And this might be the nicest she's hit it, actually.
It's awesome. It's smooth. It's a sweet-looking move.
And then as she's going for the pin, Bodhi on the outside is blowing the air horn, and Saray gets to the ropes. So Stratton now takes out Hayward with the plancha to the outside. And then as she gets back in the ring, Saray rolls her up and stacks her to pick up the win here.
Yeah, honestly, Tiffany kind of showed up. There was a lot of spots in a row of different sequences that she was nailing here with the plancha to the outside on Bodhi. That looks sweet. The corkscrew thing looks sweet. I'm super impressed. Tiffany Stratton makes it happen.
Oh, yeah.
For me, definitely. I could see her being a big deal in WWE.
I actually enjoyed this way more than I thought it was going
me
to.
Too.
I thought this
me
was
too.
Really entertaining. NXT actually have done a good job with mixed tags over the years, because they do a nice job of getting the women have their spots in on the men. If you think back to like the Gargano, Keith Lee, Mia Yim, Candice stuff we used to have. And I think the air horn stuff is goofy and I'm not a big fan, but seeing Tiffany hit that plancha to Bodhi was pretty cool. The like Saray's death drop kick to Waller I thought was pretty cool. And I thought the stars of this match were Saray and Stratton here. I thought both were really good.
Me too.
Chase, I just wish she wasn't wrestling in this stuff. I wish she had like a Chase U singlet or something, not just in his sweater.
Yeah, I don't like dudes wearing just normal clothes.
Because you see him and it's like, oh, you can actually do some wrestling here. And, but no, I thought this was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would too. So credit to them. But I am impressed with Saray. I don't know what they do with her after that. Like, where do you go with her? I could see her not being in WWE for that long because I just don't know if they have the trust or even just what to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot of characters and wrestlers that they're just like sitting on because they just don't know where to go with. Whereas Tiffany Stratton is still kind of green, but very impressive as well.
I mean, I think get the title eventually on Cora Jade. I wouldn't mind seeing a little Cora Jade Saray feud, even if it is two baby faces going at it. I think the matches could be way better than anyone against Mandy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm always impressed by Tiffany because of course she's got the like classic, you know, good looking star that WWE always goes after and always wants to push and stuff. But the wrestling was there and somewhat of this character like does work. The annoying daddy's rich girl thing is something that could work.
And this girl's only had like, what, less than 20 matches or something? And
that's crazy.
She looks better every single week.
Every time she wrestles, she looks better, for sure. Comparing it to, like, the first time or first few times we saw her wrestle on TV, yeah, definitely.
Nine matches.
That's crazy. She should cut a promo of being like, people calling me green? You're damn right I'm green. Green like money.
Yeah.
Just keep doing the money stuff, because that always works. The money clip, she didn't use in this match, I don't think.
No.
But she uses... She needs the name for the twisting thing, the paycheck, or anything like that. Just keep going with that aspect, the clueless aspect. I think it'll work, honestly.
I think so.
Yeah. And she's got nice wrestling boots.
I do like her boots.
Yeah, they're very nice.
The socks underneath.
They're like
very
Ric Flair,
nice.
Yeah.
They're like a baby blue-green kind of thing.
That's it. Baby blue? Baby green? Yeah,
turquoise. It was like a green turquoise.
Yeah, it's nice.
Shout out her boot. I used to have headphones, same color. Lost them. We go backstage to Von Wagner because it's Come Tuesday.
Whoa, what's he doing here? I thought it was Come NXT UK Tuesday or Come Thursday
Whatever
the fuck that show is on. Yeah, he's back.
Yeah.
I guess we can't call him Von Wagner anymore. We need to call him Sir Von Wagner.
Sir Von? Got Sir Von with Mr. Fuck, what's his name?
They changed his name, right?
Robbie. What's the name? Stone, Mr. Stone. There we go.
They changed his name to just Mr. Stone
now.
Okay, yeah, right.
And Mackenzie questions like about what's happened with Jiro and all of this. And Mr. Stone takes over and says, look, if you step to Von Wagner, you will be Ikemen Jiro and are on the shelf. If you step to Von Wagner, you will be like Brooks Jensen and 8 weeks on the shelf. And then as he's cutting this promo, Jiro jumps Von, attacking him, and you get a big pull apart between the two. Von looked very intense here. A lot of people told the two back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have preferred if now Von is like cultured because he's traveled from
tea. But he's just there sipping tea.
He's got tea. He's got a monocle. And they're like, Stone, what? Because he refuses to talk. He like hands the mic. He like pushes the mic over to Stone and then Stone talks.
Where he's like, nope, I tried this before. People made fun of me. That's why I've got you here.
Yeah. Tea Tuesday. Like, just start doing all this. Like, I'm a man. Because he says it's Von. He didn't say it this week. Thank fuck. Because I hate the, this is Von Wagner's world. But he could have leaned into, or Stone could have made a line like, it's Von Wagner's world and he's well traveled. Like, he's been everywhere now. In the UK. Yeah. Like, send Von to, like, indie feds and have him squash guys and be like, look, this guy's the future. Like,
I remember Evolve.
Yeah, remember you could have done stuff like that. Von Wagner, I'm still putting all my horses behind. I need
incredible
more
wrestler.
Incredible wrestler, Von Wagner.
I didn't mind the pull apart here. I like seeing Jiro being serious finally. Like, so
I wish
they both looked intense and fired up.
So. Yeah, Von is always like making doing like weird things with his mouth, but it's okay. I wish Stone said like, Jiro, you made a big mistake. We're gonna Vaughn's gonna throw you even further that you're gonna be gone just like your buddy Kushida. That's what's gonna happen to you.
They can't mention his name anymore.
No, they're not allowed to do that.
Not allowed.
I want British Von Wagner. Go full Brit.
Accent and everything.
Well, he doesn't really talk, so that's probably a good thing not to. But like, use like British terms, like, I don't know, dress differently. Yeah. Act like I went to, like, he's like the one. Those people you see on Instagram or Facebook who are like, I went to Florida for a week and like Miami, I can't wait to go back. Oh my God, Miami. His will be London. Like, I
Hackney.
Is that his?
Hackney. That warehouse off the motorway in Hackney.
Is that where that place is?
Yeah, it's a fucking shithole. He just really wants to go back there.
He's just like, London, I'm British. Like, I need him to start talking all about like everything. I want him to... again, I want a monocle, Union Jack tights. Like, he should start hanging out with the grizzled young vets. I mean, are they still even here?
I can't remember.
I don't know if they're still here.
No, they're still. They dropped their names, remember?
I don't know if they're still here.
James and Zach now, aren't they?
Team Von Wagner with Pretty Deadly. And they give him a makeover.
Yeah, okay.
With Stone as their leader.
That could work.
He's their muscle.
Yeah.
And, like, they teach him... Yes, boy, and like all this, this British shit. They take him to get like tans. They take him to get like nails done.
Because since I've come back to Canada, there have been a few times that I've said things, and people have like don't know what I've said.
Yeah,
like I'll talk too quickly and say something British or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I kind of got rid of all of that. And
yeah,
it's funny. Like a couple of times, people have been like, "Sorry, what?" It's like, oh, but I also had that when I went back. To the UK, I'd say, even just ordering a coffee, give my order, and they'd be like, what?
A double-double?
A what?
No, you did, you came back after 3 months of being in the UK, and then, like, the second day, you said something like, oh, I got me a pack of crisps up in there, and I was like, what the fuck did you just say? Hello, governor. Mm. Yeah, I want Von Wagner to start doing that. It'd be great. Because, like, you know, I saw the Cody Rhodes Stone Cold thing where he's talking about dashing.
Right.
And stuff like that. And I always thought that in a weird, strange way, the dashing thing was based on American Psycho, one of my all-time favorite movies. And then in the interview, he's like, oh, actually, I based it on that. I was like, okay, that makes so much sense to me because he definitely took it. Whereas you could do stuff like that where, like, Vaughn is with Stone. Stone needs to teach him how to not wear socks with his loafers. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do more of that. The Vaughn, we already know Vaughn's not good at talking because he's always just... and stuff like that. Calm it down and have him actual wrestle. I think there is potential.
I'm sorry, Brain, but you shit on a lot of this show. And then you're saying,
I love Von.
I want to see a vignette Von. Where Robert Stone is showing Von Wagner to not wear socks with his shoes.
And then you want
to
go farther? You want to go farther? Like, look, we got the Italian mafia. We got the Mexican
gang. Oh,
this
guy looks like a mob leader, for sure.
Yeah, so he could be the Peaky Blinders with the Pretty Deadly. Oh, yeah, that's Peaky Blinders. Yeah, fuck, they're already on the main roster.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. I don't think Von Wagner is British, but
He's not.
I want him to act British.
Dude has one match in the UK.
Yeah, exactly. Sir Von.
We go to our next match. It's part of the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament first round. Ariana Grace, Baby Morella, right?
Yeah, not Santina.
Yes.
She didn't call herself that, no. But Ariana Grande.
Yep. Taking on Nikita Lyons, who we're all familiar with by this point. And we get a little kind of insert promo from Ariana Grace here saying that she's trained in a lot of like martial arts. She's done jiu-jitsu and she's won beauty pageants. So she's got a lot going for her.
And she's from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah.
I think more so Mississauga, but that's all right. Yeah. Shout out Mississauga.
Shout out Mississauga.
The party next door.
And they go for a handshake right away, but Grace punches Nikita in the face. She's going to bring it all to her. Lyons kind of laughs this off and kicks Grace back. And now Grace keeps on going for these arm bars. And she applies one, but gets picked up in a powerbomb from Lyons. Grace continues to work the arm and then applies an Anaconda Vice, or should we say Anaconda Grace?
Anaconda Grace, or, Ariana Vice.
Ariana Vice.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Nikita comes back with a series of roundhouse kicks and a German suplex. Finally hits her spinning back kick to the chin, followed by the split leg drop for the win.
Yeah, I mean, there was some cool offense from Ariana here, kind of showing what she is capable of. And I think she'll be a great addition to NXT here. Of course, you knew Nikita was going to go over just because you could see Nikita win the...
She's the veteran.
Yeah, really, the vet, like. Yeah. I didn't think this was bad by any means. The only thing I still am iffy on is that leg drop finish. Because I know she super kicks them first, so they're already like beat up, and then she does
it's
it.
It's almost like a taunt.
Yeah, it's like an insult. You know, yeah. Yeah, it's like an insult to injury kind of thing. But yeah, this was quick, but it served its purpose.
I thought this did a good job of... They gave Ariana Grace a lot here and showed that she's got this kind of submission martial arts background to her. I thought this was a better showcase for her than the first match was for Sloane.
Yeah.
I thought this showcased Ariana well. But of course, Nikita's going to move forward and I imagine she'll be in the final.
I think the finals will be, what, Nikita Perez?
Nikita versus... Perez, yeah.
Which could be pretty good, yeah.
So we've got next, in the next round, it will be Fallon taking on Nikita Lyons, which I hope they give them a little bit more time because, I've liked both. So, yeah, be good. We then get a video package which is hyping up the main event between, it's kind of showing us stuff we've already seen with the diary of Cora Jade and all this. But I do like if you've got like a big main event, they kind of made this feel like a big deal. Tonight with these video packages and stuff.
In the diary of Jade.
Yeah.
If she gets the WWE call-up, main roster call-up, they're going to call her Jade?
Just Jade?
We already have a Jade in AEW. Because they cut everyone's names, right? They can't just call
Jade
her Cora.
Jade in AEW.
Jade? Don't we have
Jade, Cargo. Right. I thought we meant just one name.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Wasn't Mia Yim Jade as well?
Oh, yeah. She was, wasn't she?
Or just Cora.
Cora.
Good breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get an interview from the Viking Raiders, and they say, "We respect the Creed brothers for not wanting to accept a tainted victory, and it's hard to find people with respect and honor in this business. But next week, we put respect and honor out the window. We have never tasted defeat in NXT, and next week, Ragnarok awaits." Rah!
Good movie.
Yeah.
Good, probably the best Thor movie until the new one comes out. Mm-hmm. Christian Bale.
I do like the first Thor.
The first Thor is good, but like Ragnarok, I wasn't even hype about it. And then I watched it and I was like, it's pretty good. I never knew that word. I never heard that word until that movie. And now I hear that word all the time. What does it even mean?
I had some Viking shit. Yeah.
I want to see the Northman. Mm. The Northman.
I like the Viking Raiders. They're so goofy on the main roster, but in this setting, it almost feels like you're just watching 80s WWF, like Demolition, Legion of Doom kind of thing.
I always love these guys. Wrestlers. I mean, the match last week just proved it again that I still think they're great. Yeah, WWE is totally WWE'd them, but these guys are probably making more money than they've ever. They're more famous than they ever were. They don't really need to work that hard. They're like the Nakamura of tag teams now. They're like, yeah, cool. You need us to go into NXT? Sure. All right.
Ivar, I'll do a cartwheel sometimes.
And he's huge.
It's impressive.
I love them. And I do still think that there is time to kind of make them a bigger deal in WWE, even though they've made them look like goofs. That match sounds great next week. The rematch? Like between the Creeds and them? Like, yo, give them even more time than last week. Let them kill each other.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And hopefully, I imagine Roddy will be involved.
Ah, you better not.
Well, next week, we have Tony D'Angelo versus Santos Escobar. We've got Bron Breakker answering Joe Gacy's invitation. Solo and Grimes versus Trick and Mello. And Viking Raiders versus Creed Brothers. So it could be some good stuff next week. I expect more in the women's tournament.
The breakout,
probably.
Yeah, for sure.
But we go to our main event. It's been built for quite a few weeks now. Natalia versus Cora Jade. The match Cora always wanted to have.
The skater girl versus the boat.
Yeah. Skater boat.
Skater boat.
Yeah. They're talking about Natalia's 3 Guinness World Records. That she's wanting to break the record of
The Rock.
Shortest. So
The Rock.
So I think it was what she, like Aaliyah broke her record of match time.
Yeah.
But The Rock's got the WrestleMania record, I think.
Of shortest match? Or
I think it was 6 seconds or 16 seconds against Rowan.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But that was a WrestleMania record. But they're wanting Natalia to break Aaliyah's, 317?
I don't think you're breaking that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever being broken.
No. Shout out Aaliyah.
Chick from the Six.
Yeah, absolutely.
NXT legend.
And they're building this up and like the bell just rings as they're like halfway explaining the Guinness Book records and Wade just goes, well, the bell's already rung, Vic. Yeah.
It's over.
It's not happening tonight.
Yeah.
Just some like classic wrestling to start with, both trying to outdo each other. Natty gets put in a head scissors and kips up out of it. Then Cora gets put in a head scissors and she kips up out of it. There's then a step up Rana from Cora Jade. And then Natalia applies a surfboard, but Cora slips out of it and delivers a drop kick to the face of Natalia. Natty then shoves Cora to the mat. She's getting frustrated, so just shoves her down. And Cora comes right back with a big old slap across the face. It's now getting nastier. Cora tries to slip through Natty's legs, but gets picked up for a powerbomb, which Cora counters into an arm drag, and then delivers a big knee strike to the face in the ropes to Natalia, followed by a tornado DDT, just planting Natty's face to the mat here.
This looked pretty good.
Looked really nice. Cora then goes for sliced bread, but Natty rolls it through for a sharpshooter attempt, which Cora slips out of. And as she gets up, she eats the discus lariat from Natty.
Natty by nature.
Is that what she calls it?
Yeah.
For a 2 count. There's then a suplex into the turnbuckle from Natty, and Jade, kind of her knee bounces off the turnbuckle. So now she's favoring that. And this allows Natty to just start working on the leg of Jade. She wraps it around the ring post repeatedly, goes for the figure four around the ring post, but Cora fights out and drags Natty's face into the post, escaping. There's then a double stomp to the back, but Natty kicks out, and this time Jade hits sliced bread, goes for a pin attempt, but this gets rolled through. They're both trading these pin attempts, and now Cora tries a sharpshooter of her own. She locks it in, but Cora's knee buckles. And then Cora goes up top for the senton, but her knee gives out again, allowing Natty to lock in the sharpshooter in the middle of the ring. Jade is struggling, getting to one side, almost grabbing the ropes, but gets dragged back into the middle. Then Cora tries to go for another rope, but gets dragged back into the middle. And this time, Natty sits into the sharpshooter. And the ref is asking, if you're tapping, are you tapping? And, well, Cora Jade passes out. She gets that stone cold treatment.
That's right.
Against a heart. And Natalia wins. And after the match, Natty offers her hand to Cora. And Cora looks a little skeptical about it. But they shake hands. Respect at the end.
Yeah, I thought this was great. This was really good. It had back and forth action that was matched. I mean, like Cora, yeah, you're really young and you're really new, and the whole thing is you're looking up to this person you're fighting someone that you used to look up to, and here you are doing all their moves, matching them, like the kip ups, the counters and pin attempts, and even a sharpshooter from Cora, which looked pretty good as well. This was easily the best Jade has looked,
I think so,
in
yeah.
WWE, at least what I've seen from Cora Jade, and I thought she looked fantastic. And yeah, I think there is, there needs to be the push for her. This shows that, like, this, obviously they could do a rematch of this angle. One nitpicking thing was she didn't tap out, but she's like in agony and then does the pass out. Mm. But then the ref goes, "Hey, like, what are we doing?" And then she wakes back up and goes, I'm not tapping. I'm doing the bit. I'm doing the thing. Okay, ready? And then go. It's like, pretend you're asleep. Yeah. Pretend you're asleep. And she does it. And then he goes, oh my God, she's out. We got to ring the bell. That's nitpicking. I love this match.
I really like this. I thought Cora Jade looked great. I'm not as high up on Natalya as other people are. But
Tell me you love Natty. The boat.
I thought she was great here. I thought worked really well with Cora Jade. I loved the story of this, like, gatekeeper, they kept on calling Natalya, and Cora really trying to, like, prove herself and ultimately just earn her respect more than anything, which she got. It got time as well. I don't know the exact time for it, but I didn't feel shortchanged, which I sometimes do. And actually, I think that's something we've said the last couple of weeks on NXT. The big matches have had a bit more time.
Yeah.
Whereas there was that long run of you'd get excited for a match and then you'd have the entrances and a minute and a break and then it would kind of end. I didn't feel that with this, and I haven't felt that the last couple of weeks. I think Cora Jade, like, they've got to really fuck up something to mess up this character, because I think she's proved herself in the ring. I think you need to kind of capitalize on her while she's so young, because I think she's so marketable to a different type of audience on the main roster. I can see her moving up pretty quick.
Yeah, I love the wrestling. Natty, this is one of the better Natty matches in quite a long time. One of her best matches. I thought everything made sense. The story was good for the weeks of build up and just everything. Even the finish was like a good idea. It kept Cora. She didn't tap out. So, you know, you could do a rematch. You could say, I didn't tap
and
out.
And Natty's saying, they always tap in the end.
She's like, they tap.
They're like, she didn't tap.
She didn't tap. She didn't tap. And then she's like, oh, okay. So then the respect angle there. For sure. This is why I keep my signed Natty headshot on our fridge at all times, because she's the boat. She's the boat. I mean, the one thing, another nitpicking thing is Cora, I guess it's like part of the marketable of the character. Get rid of the skateboard.
Or get lessons.
One lesson.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't even ride it for 1 second. You ride it lesser time than Aaliyah pinned Natty.
It seems to be getting even shorter.
She's not even on it. She just carries it and throws it and, like, look, I skated, and then, like, comes out. It's like, do you need that? I don't know if you need that anymore. It's on her Titantron at the skateboard cartoon animations. It's like, okay, maybe eventually she'll move away from that, because I do genuinely not believe she's a skater, but that's okay. Because it would be cool to introduce that into something, but hey, if not, I don't think she needs it anymore. I already think she's
I think it's better. The thing is, if you're not confident on it, Darby's obviously skated all his life. He's very comfortable on it. It's like, I mean, it could be a Shockmaster moment, couldn't it? If you eat shit, like going down the ramp.
Yeah.
Like Titus O'Neil kind of thing.
Right.
And you don't want that to happen, which is probably why they don't let her, or she doesn't let herself go too far with it, just in case something happens, and just don't have it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. But
it's
love
not like she uses that as a weapon.
No, even. It's like, not part of her character
anymore. It's not needed.
Yeah.
I think she's got enough going for, she appeals, I think, to, like, I mean, I see on Twitter and stuff that, like, she's got a lot of, like, young fans and things. I think she's great.
No, I love this. This is easily the match of the night on this show. But
I think so.
Highlight for sure of
this
show.
I'd say this is a couple of weeks in a row now where I think the women have really stood out. Like, it was a very, like, women heavy show again. And I think WWE still has the best women's division out there. And all these new talents, these new names, they're starting to really become kind of NXT regulars now. Like, a lot of these characters are, it's taken time, but since that first, like, NXT 2.0, where we're going, who the fuck is everyone?
Yeah.
And I think of, especially the women are, like, really quite good now. And I'm impressed. Like, I thought Tiffany Saray really stood out, and the main event I really liked.
Girl power.
Girl power.
100%.
More of it. Just make it the women's show. Fuck it.
It almost seemed like this would be the one episode that they were like, hey, it's only women on. I thought that's what they were kind of going with. It almost did kind of feel like that. No, you're right. I really like this match. Natty and Cora Jade definitely delivered, and I would say recommend checking it out if you haven't. But I could see Jade being a pretty big star here in WWE as well. She should definitely be the – I mean, we said it when she had the first title opportunity, then it turned into the multi-person match. She should be the one to take the title from Mandy.
Absolutely.
Rose.
And I think this is a good kind of like – distraction from the title
right
before she goes back to that. I mean, could we get another match? Could this be the Sami Cesaro of 2022?
That's right. It could be Natty 2 out of 3 Jay. Falls. Submission match.
Yeah.
Something like
I quit.
That. I quit match.
Like she never
or
quit.
They could be friends and face Toxic together.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd be interested in seeing this again on a app in your house, maybe.
Yeah. There you go. Well, that was NXT.
That was NXT.
That was NXT. Yeah, overall, there's always stuff on the show that I just hate and I think is the drizzling shits. More specifically, Joe Gacy and that whole angle and the druids and the kidnapping and the glitchy effects on the screen that don't make any sense to the thing at all. And then there's so many kidnappings. The mafia stuff definitely makes me laugh. I don't know if I hate it or I love it. I'm definitely in the middle somewhere. But for me, some of the wrestling definitely stood out. I was impressed with Stratton and Saray in that mixed tag, and Cora and Natty definitely brought it.
Yeah, I enjoyed this week's show. Yeah. The Gacy stuff wasn't long. It didn't kind of dominate the whole show.
Sure.
It was a lot more wrestling heavy. Oh, forgot to mention Toxic Attraction ridiculed Indy Hartwell.
Breakup.
They were saying, they said it in a way like, oh, I can't understand how it would feel to be like
in your shoes. Because her man left her.
Because your man left you. And then, no, I can't imagine what it would be like to be in your shoes because no man would ever leave
me. No man ever leaves me. And then they're like, oh, because she leaves all the men. And then they walk off. So maybe Indy versus Mandy is something that they're going towards.
Which we've wanted an indie singles run for a while. So, that could be cool.
Yeah, hey, Indy's great. And she's been in the way. She's been in the tag thing. She's always just kind of been chilling off to the side when I do think there's a lot there.
It's a shame. I mean, before these releases happened, we were saying we kind of want Indy to break off away from this silly shit now.
Yeah.
As good as she is at it. And it's a shame it had to happen this way with these releases.
Yeah.
But it could be a good thing for her.
Yeah, for sure. I could see that match happening too.
We've got one piece of feedback this week.
Okay.
We always throw up the feedback thread on our Facebook group. So search for Up Next Group on Facebook. Or if you don't like the Zuckerberg, you can sign up to the Post Wrestling Forum and leave your comments there as well. But we've got a piece of feedback from Dylan this week who says, super cool that the show was so centered on female talent tonight and they didn't have to advertise it as some NXT special attraction. I like Kemp in Diamond Mine and laughed a ton at Saray transforming Bodhi and Chase with her. As a vet student currently on my large animal medicine rotation, I had to root for the horse girl. Biggest downside tonight was Gacy kind of being back to the woke thing, sorta. I prefer he do that gimmick over the spooky BS, but this halfway in between is worse. Hopefully it's just an odd part of a course correction.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
There you are. That's it.
That's it. That's what you guys thought. Just one person writing in. There's a lot of sports going on. A
lot
tonight.
Of playoffs.
I mean,
tonight.
Even us, we're not real sports fans, but we were like, oh, we wish we were watching the Leafs. And they won.
They won.
So that's all right. Guys, thanks so much for listening to us chat all about NXT. Of course, we'll be back next week to do it all over again. We also chat about AEW Dynamite on BDE Elite, which we will be going live on this Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern time to record the show. And then we'll put it up on this free feed as well. And if you like free feed stuff, well, there's Shot in the Dark with John Cena chatting all about all the other wrestling out there, including he does a lot of reports for postwrestling.com, which you should check out as well because he covers everything. We watched Josh Alexander, Ishii, because he said it was really good, and he was right.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was a banger
of
a
match. Last night. Awesome match from
Impact.
Under Siege.
Under Siege.
Yeah, really like that.
So go check out Shot in the Dark. Of course, BD Elite will be back. And then, hey, you want to hear more of us? Patreon.com/upnext. All these podcasts, retro NXT reviews, retro pay-per-view reviews, best match ever. Everything is up there. There's so many different things. It's $5 and you get access to like 400 and something podcasts instantly. So go check that out. There's so many things up on the Patreon and it's only $5 to help support us.
Yeah. That's it.
And that's it. That's all. At Up Next Podcast on Twitter and the Facebook group and the page and all that stuff as well. I myself, Braden Harrington, you can find me on Twitter and I'm on Instagram. I'm at the Bray. D.
And I'm at Davey Portman.
Take care, goodbye, be safe, and go Leafs go.
Ahoy!